call the meeting to order of the Senate Special Committee on Energy. Let the record reflect that it is 1:10 p.m. Sorry about us being late, folks. On March 17, 2015, we're in the Butcherbitch Room 205. Let the record show that we have quorum to do business. Co-Chair Bishop, Senator Hoffman, Senator Egan, and myself, Co-Chairman Machicki. I'd like to recognize our committee staff, Chris Dickrell from Senate Records, and Donna Page from LIO. My staff, Lynn Smith. Welcome, Senator Stedman. Everyone, please turn off your cell phones, or at least the ringer. And single purpose of our meeting today is to have a hearing on Senate Bill 57, the Clean Air Act Plan, sponsored by Senator Giesel. Senator, if you want to join us up here at the table. And we do have a CS before us. We can have a motion to adopt the CS version I dated March 11, 2015. Before us is the working document. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we adopt the committee substitute SB 57 version I.
Without objection, version I is before us as the working document. Senator Giesel, whenever you're ready, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm State Senator Kathy Giesel. I represent Senate District M. Senate Bill 57 is a response to some egregious regulation proposals made by the Environmental Protection Agency. In June of 14, this last summer, the EPA released a proposed rule to regulate emissions from power generators. The proposed rule has two main elements: state-specific emissions reduction targets and guidelines for the development, submission, and implementation of state plans to meet those targets. The EPA set Alaska's CO2 emissions reduction target at 26% by the year 2030. First and foremost, Senate Bill 57 requires the Department of Environmental Conservation, our state department, to seek a waiver or similar exception for Alaska to the EPA's proposed rule. This rule is also known as the existing source performance standards under Section 111D of the Clean Air Act. SB 57 also provides guidance to DEC regarding the development of a state implementation plan, should this rule go into effect as it's currently proposed. So what are some of the elements in the state implementation plan that the bill would prohibit? In other words, the bill tells the department that the plan should not result in, number one, increased retail electric rates in a way that would disproportionately affect households of lower moderate income. Number two, less reliable electric service, resource inadequacy, or transmission constraints. Number three, impairment of investments in existing electricity generating capacity. Number four, impairment of the competitive position of manufacturers or other public or private sectors of the state economy. Number five, a decrease in employment in the state. Or number six, a decrease in state or local revenue. So you can see there are some sidebars set around what this plan could and could not do, specifically could not do. We don't want negative effects on our economy and on our citizens. The EPA's proposed rule would cause significant, in my opinion, cause significant increases in Alaska electrical rate, challenge the reliability of our electric services, and effectively preempt the state's energy policy. The state plans must include some specific enforceable measures and responsible parties. Once approved by the EPA, the state plan would be federally enforceable. Senate Bill 57 is written to protect the state from EPA overreach and protect the citizens. So Senate Bill 57 is a tall order, but we're not alone. 15 other states have either passed legislation or resolutions in opposition to EPA Section 111D of the Clean Air Act. Now, there are some folks that are asserting that this piece of legislation is somehow copied from either from other organizations, and I will tell you that that is not true. This is specifically written for Alaska by my office and collaboration with other offices who have the same concern I do. So this would set parameters that would protect rail belt ratepayers from Seward to Anchorage to the interior. With that, I have very able-bodied staff here in Vivian Stiver, who can take you through a section of the bill if you wish, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, by the way, for hearing the bill.
Thank you, Senator Geisel. Questions at this point? Well, with no questions from committee members, hang on a second. I got sucked into one of your letters here of support, which is...
They are captivating.
I'm a little bit... Pardon? Hey, this one was... Okay. Well, I have no questions at this time. Why don't we go to, and frankly, I'm just going to let the committee know we're going to be hearing this in resources as well. So I have no need to hang on to the bill. I want to have a public testimony testimony today and get any questions from the committee here, and I would like to move it out. So let's is there anyone in the room that would like to testify on Senate Bill 57? Seeing no one, is there anyone online that would like to testify? Looks like we have Jerry Mullins, is he online? From the National Mining Association. Mr. Mullins, are you online?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're ready when you are.
Okay. My name is Jerry Mullins, and I am the Vice President of Government Affairs and External Relations for the National Mining Association. We all know Alaska is a unique and special place, but you can rest assured that Alaska is in good company when it comes to SB 57, combating the President's overzealous federal overreach, especially in regards to the Clean Power Plant rule. Currently, there is legislation in more than 20 state legislatures aimed at making sure that the creation of a state's implementation plan, or a SIP, that complies with the President's Clean Power Plant rule doesn't cause electricity prices to skyrocket or risk the future of reliability and affordability for the state's electricity. In Kentucky, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Louisiana, Kansas, and Missouri, there has been legislation passed that will require state legislatures to approve of the state's SIP plan. There are also many states that will be following that path in the next few weeks. There are also those that worry that the EPA can simply force a federal implementation plan, or FIP, on states that are slow or do not offer plans as fast as the EPA expects. The EPA cannot simply go into a state and start telling plant owners to run certain plants less, other plants more, build new generation sources, or add transmission and pipelines, or tell households or businesses to use less electricity. Making sure a state has elected officials serving as the responsible stakeholders in the development of state implementation plans is the best path forward to ensure that affordable, reliable electricity remains a reality for all Alaskans. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Mullins. Any questions from committee members of Mr. Mullins? Seeing none, thanks for your testimony. We're now going to go to... Well, he has a question. Mr. Wilkberg, do you have any questions for us, or would you like to testify, or are you just there for our support?
I'm here to answer questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I have a question for you. Do you see any problem with Senate Bill 57 getting in the way of any of the processes of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, or do you see it in any way impeding the state on complying with reasonable requirements of the EPA?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm here testifying in my personal comments that I provided to the legislature and to our congressional delegation in Washington. My only concern at this juncture right now is making sure that all the leadership and the people of Alaska have a common goal. And it's one thing I think we share to a large degree, of course not everyone, is that we have significant problems, as the Bassmaster pointed out, with the EPA's rulemaking docket under 111D of the Clean Air Act. The large group of members of the executive branch in a working group this last year worked hard to put together comments which were submitted to the EPA on the 1st of December. In doing so, we requested a waiver. We think that's the most appropriate method to deal with this because Alaska is islanded. We're not connected to the continental grid, and the impacts in terms of costs in Alaska will be quite extraordinary. And these lead me to some concerns. That is, the whether or not we should... in addition, Mr. Chairman, I would say that we've also filed a lawsuit and joined other states in trying to set rulemaking aside. Nevertheless, we are subject to, if we do not file a plan, subject to the EPA's imposition of a plan on our state. And if that is done, the plan would be drafted by the EPA, enforced by the EPA, and also subject to citizen suit. So my concern at this juncture is whether or not we expose ourselves to that type of situation where we default to the EPA and allow them to draft a plan for us, which they indicated in the rulemaking they will do if we do not provide a SIP.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Roepberg. Questions for Mr. Roepberg? Seeing none, thank you, sir. Just to let the committee know, we also have Alice Edwards online from Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. Is there anyone else online wishing to testify?
Not currently.
Anyone else in the room wishing to testify? Senator Giesel, can I have you come back out? I'm going to close public testimony. Okay. And as you come up, I several letters of support, one from the Teamsters Local 959, Fairbanks Chamber, Arctec, Alaska Chamber, Consumer Energy Alliance, Alaska Miners, Golden Valley. One letter of opposition from Ms. Weedall from Homer. She worries that you're trying to prohibit the Department of Environmental Conservation from preparing a unique state-specific implementation plan. Can you explain whether or not this prohibits a plan from being constructed or created?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the question. Quite the opposite. We're actually urging DEC to create a plan that's specific for Alaska. Number one, to ask for that exemption. But no, there's no prohibition here. We've actually met with DEC. They understand the goal of this bill and are happy to carry it forward, the provisions of the bill.
Thank you, Senator. I just wanted to do that on the record just to show we're paying attention to letters of testimony, but also that the sponsor is aware of those issues. Yes, Senator Regan.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious, does the administration have a position on this bill other than what's in our packets?
I certainly can't speak for the administration, and I would assume that the bill sponsor can't speak for the administration at this time.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Senator Egan, through the chair, I believe DEC is on the phone. I may be in error.
They are.
But you could certainly post a question to them. You're right, I could not answer it.
Thank you, Madam Sponsor. Question for folks online.
Well, I believe Ms. Edwards is here. Ms. Edwards, would you like to come discuss the bill with us, please? If you can identify yourself for the record. And
my name is Alice Edwards. I'm the Deputy Commissioner for DEC.
Do you need the question repeated?
Could you state the question for me, please?
Yeah, I'm just curious if the administration has a position on Senate Bill 57.
I don't have a formal position from the administration on Senate Bill 57. Of course, we are concerned, as Commissioner Roper from the RCA noted, about the provisions in 111D, about having affordable power, about having reliable power in the state. But as Mr. Roper noted, we are also concerned about being able to meet both the requirements of the bill and any federal rule requirements that may be put into place. We don't have a federal rule yet. And we're concerned that if we're unable to meet those two sets of requirements, that we may not be able to submit a state plan. We're certainly willing to work to address the types of issues that are raised in the bill, but we are concerned that ultimately, if we are unable to match up all of those requirements, that we may end up with a federal plan rather than a state plan.
And Senator? Mr. Chair, so I'm assuming that would cost the state more money.
Through the chair, we do believe the analyses required would cost a little bit more money for the department than we might normally do in a plan preparation.
But wouldn't the end result, Mr. Chair, through the chair?
Maybe I didn't understand the question.
Well, wouldn't the end result be that we would have to spend a lot of money to fight the federal government, as other states are doing?
Through the chair, Senator Egan, I don't know. I assume that we would take up, well, we already have, as Commissioner Roper had noted, a lawsuit that we have joined. We've asked for an exemption. So the real question would be what steps we would need to take. And at this point, I think it's a little bit uncertain, given that we don't know what the plan, the EPA rules, look like at this point.
Great, thank you. And I just one follow-up. I mean, I read Mr. Roberg's, Commissioner Roberg's comments, and, you know, to join something doesn't cost you anything, but to be involved in fighting a federal regulation costs a lot of money. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Other comments or questions? I see on your fiscal note you had $75,000 for FY16 and $25,000 for 17. What would have the cost have been without this bill? I mean, you're creating a, well, once you have a reg, you're going to be producing a plan anyway.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The cost that we identified in the fiscal note would be to do these types of economic analyses, which are typically a little beyond what DEC would normally do in the plan development process. We would need to work with the energy agencies and the utilities to develop this information, but this goes beyond the kind of technical capacity we have in-house at the department to do this type of economic analysis. So we came up with this fiscal note to identify the contractual costs that we felt would be needed to do the additional economic sorts of analyses that are required under this bill.
So would this be a DEC cost, or would it be another department?
Mr. Chairman, this is assuming that DEC would be contracting for assistance with this work.
I understand. I mean, I think what the bill pushes us to do is to understand the impacts of federal regs on our everyday lives, and asks you to take the time for an analysis where I think in the past we would just comply and sometimes not understand those unintended consequences. So it seems like a worthwhile investment, considering what the hundreds of millions it could be costing us in the long run. So, other comments? Senator Bishop?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to commend the bill sponsor. I see you got a great letter here from the Teamsters. 80 full-time year-round jobs there. Big deal. Big deal. Bigger than that, as big as that, 47% of the revenue for the Alaska Railroad comes from hauling coal. And this is just ever more why we need to stand up and debate this 111D rule, which I think is clearly an overreach attempt by the EPA. And with that being said, one little close. It was interesting. I read an article a week ago in the ADN, and I don't know if it'd be pertinent for the bill sponsor to go find that article, where Denali National Park has the cleanest air of any national park in the United States, with a coal mine and a producing coal plant 30 miles down the road, and not one iota, none, in those samplings for 35 years has mentioned anything about any contaminants from a coal mine or a coal plant. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Other comments, questions?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If I can have you back up, Senator Giesel, please, see if there's any final questions. Like I said, we will be hearing this in resources as well. So any final questions for the bill sponsor? Or any final closeout comments from you, Senator Giesel?
Well, only this, Mr. Chairman. This bill may ask DEC to do a bit more analysis than they would do in writing the state plan to begin with. But the cost of doing nothing, I believe, is too high. We know that these new EPA regulations will increase the cost of energy for citizens and businesses, and we're not the only state realizing this. So together, the states may be able to convince the EPA to abandon this rulemaking procedure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Giesel. Without any other comments, do I have a motion, Mr. Co-Chair?
Mr. Chairman, I move we pass CS for Senate Bill 57 from the committee with individual recommendations and accompanying physical note from the Department of Environmental Conservation.
Hearing no objection, CS Senate Bill 57 is passed from committee with individual recommendations and the attached physical note from the DEC. Please sign the committee report before you leave the room. And this means we don't have a reason for the Thursday meeting. We'll likely be getting together next week, so I'll get a notice out to everyone. We are adjourned at 1:33.